Flemmy, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United transfer news. We've got lots to get into on the show this morning. A little bit of an update around Fernandes, but primarily we're talking about Carrick's next signing. Some interesting stuff dropping out of The Athletic. David Ornstein, Ben Jacobs. We're talking Enmecha. That's firming up. We're talking in relation to, who's the other one? Tchouaméni as well. A little bit on Alex Scott. Big stuff around Marcus Rashford coming in from David Ornstein and Fabrizio Romano this morning. So some really, really interesting pieces to go through this morning. And I think I do want to delve in on who's Carrick's next signing, really. You know, not, I mean, I suppose for Prosperity, we can refer back to the comments on who goes with what, and I'll certainly give you my prediction. But we've signed Ederson. Who is going to be next? Do we actually know? No. Do we have pointers of who it could be? Yes. Also, just laughing about the chat there about people saying it will definitely be Beth. No. Yes, I was up at 5 o'clock this morning watching the Netherlands get knocked out in a penalty shootout. Massive shout out, our World Cup shout out to Mazraoui. He was bloody brilliant last night. It seems to be every, you know, we had a little bit of a chat about the World Cup at the start of the morning show yesterday. I quite like this because it's got a United theme. But what are we doing with Mazraoui? What are we doing with Mazraoui? This World Cup. And I know you don't scout people on World Cups, but we already have this player. If he was doing what he's doing in this World Cup and he was like 24, we'd be saying sign him. I just think like he's so good and he's playing at left back and I don't want him to play at left back for Man United. I want us to buy a left back. Absolutely. But what I'm saying is, and I'll leave it here, is how was he not getting picked last season? He's better than Dalot. He's better than Luke Shaw. He was brilliant for us at centre-back against Chelsea. I don't know whether it's just popularity, nepotism or whatever, but he should be walking into that United side. Absolutely. And I'm over the moon for Mazraoui that he's through to the next round of the World Cup. But we're here to talk about transfers. Get your comments in as always. We are going to talk about Rashford a little bit later. There's a bit of a kicker to that, that he'd probably be involved in pre-season but could still leave. I think it's a mistake. I think it's a mistake by Rashford. I think it's a mistake by Manchester United. And I think it's a big mistake by Carrick to think you can just integrate him back and there won't be any kickback on that. But we'll talk about that in a moment. As I say, I'm more and more open to it. I have concerns about how this is going to play out. Definitely. But let's talk about incomings. So a few interesting pieces coming out. Ben Jacobs talking about Boadi. We'll talk about that. The Athletic talking about Enmecha. We'll talk about that. And are these stories genuine interest from Manchester United? Or do you think they're putting it out there to credible outlets when actually it's a bit of a, we're looking at other people, to Mateus Fernandes, to make him go, look, if you snooze, you lose. Or is it genuinely Man United thinking we might have snoozed and we might have lost? On Mateus Fernandes, not a lot to add in relation to last night, but I'll put this in and then we'll talk about Boadi and Mecha stories from this morning and the wider picture. So in relation to Mateus Fernandes, the update this morning basically comes in from The Athletic on their deal sheet where they're talking about Spurs and effectively saying that Spurs are confident of closing deals this week for Mateus Fernandes and Tonali. Sorry, I say confident this week. It mentions they are confident and they could close deals this week. There was also another story about Tonali. I think it was, let me just get this right. So there's so much stuff coming out this morning. So I don't want to be misquoted or misquoting outlets on this. So The Athletic saying that Newcastle are confident that they can close deals and potentially do it this week. However, Ben Jacobs tweeted this morning that Spurs continue in talks to sign Tonali, are optimistic that they'll get him. De Zerbi is understood to be a key factor in his decision-making process. City and Arsenal also hold an interest. Separate from Mateus Fernandes, where Spurs and Man United are both in talks with West Ham. So, look, I think that Spurs still retain confidence that they can get Tonali and Mateus Fernandes. But what I find interesting about that is that if Tonali is, you know, smitten by the Spurs move because of De Zerbi, you can imagine that those same conversations have taken place with Mateus Fernandes. And it feels like De Zerbi is a big factor in making these deals appealing to these players, because as many of us have been baffled about over the last couple of weeks, why would you go to Spurs? you know, if you're Tonali or Mateus Fernandez, why would you go to Spurs? But it seems we're getting a little bit more that it's De Zerbi who is holding those conversations. Now, the instant reaction will be, well, should Michael Carrick be doing that? Michael Carrick may well be doing that, but does Michael Carrick come across to you as the most charismatic manager in the world who has, you know, a clear and, you know, defined CV of how things are going to work out? Whatever you say about De Zerbi, and he certainly hasn't won Premier League titles or Champions Leagues, but he has done things at Brighton and Marseille, and he does have a distinctive way of playing and a distinctive style. So look, Michael Carrick has Champions League football and Manchester United on his CV. De Zerbi also has charisma and, you know, a style of play as well. So look, it's going to be very interesting how that plays out. But talking about Man United, talking about new news this morning, this is coming in from The Athletic. Enmecha is among the names Manchester United are considering in midfield, having made inquiries to his availability this summer. He is keen on a move to the Premier League. So we had Bild, German report last night, saying that he would prefer a move to Manchester, whether it be Man United or City, over going to Newcastle. You've now got The Athletic, who are not Bild and not German outlet, saying that he is part of Manchester United's considerations this summer, and inquiries have been made to his availability this summer as well. And let's not forget, being German, he is now out of the World Cup, so that will not stand in Manchester United's way, and he may well be looking to resolve his summer make a move over the next few weeks. Also, in The Athletic, given Real Madrid's desire to sell a midfielder and Camavinga's reluctance to leave, the club are open to offers for Tchouaméni. His deal ends in 2028 and Manchester United like him. So another Athletic update there around Tchouaméni. So look, let's start off with those two players, Enmecha and Tchouaméni. I mean, look, if somebody said to me, we're signing those two and we're not signing Mateus Fernandez, I'd be over the bloody moon. I think you're buying two players there who may not be Premier League proven, but much the same as Cunha and Mbeumo, I think they come into the team and instantly give an air of, you know, authority and experience. And, you know, Mainoo is only 21. And if you bring in people like Tchouaméni and Enmecha, I think it gives that midfield some real authority, like I say, and experience. And I think that, these two players are exactly the type of player we should be looking at. And it's interesting how this morning these stories are both very, very credible. Now, look, you tell me, do you think this is a case of Mateus Fernandez, and if we don't get him, we might go for Tchouaméni, and if we don't get him, we might go for Enmecha, or do you actually think we might get two out of the three? I believe we have to get two out of the three. I heard somebody saying today on X, I would keep Rashford and not sign a left winger so that we can buy midfielders. And I'm like, hold on a minute. Why are some of our fans so indoctrinated into the Glazers? Like, I literally put a tweet out today. It really pisses me off that the spin and PR that comes out that balancing the books is more important than winning titles. We used to be a club that would go out and pay what it takes to get the best players to help us win the title. And now we actually have fans who champion us walking away because it's a few million more than we want to pay in the name of balancing the books. We're behaving like a mid-table club. We're Manchester United. So I will always resist that. I will always fight against that. And I might be the only one that does it, but I will always resist it because I've seen what it's like to be great and it's brilliant. I've seen what it's like to compete for a title every year and it's magical. And I've seen what it's like to behave like Manchester United and it's incredible. And I am not going to sit here and say, yeah, let's bring Rashford back and not buy a left winger or a left back. We can make do with Cunha and Dorgu and Luke Shaw. And, you know, I'm sure if things went really bad, we can use Mazraoui there as well. And let's just spend it all on the midfield. No, let's buy three midfielders, a left back, a left winger and a backup striker, like a proper fucking football club, and stop cutting corners so that we can balance the bloody books. And why are we balancing the books? We're only balancing the books because the owners put a load of bloody debt on us that we never should have had. So look, when I read about Tchouaméni and Mecha, and I know that we're in talks with Mateus Fernandez, I don't accept it's one out of three. We're Manchester United, and the sooner people remember what we are and what we should be doing, the better. We should be buying two out of those three, and we should be buying a left winger, a left back, and a backup striker as well. In reality, I know I'm probably talking to a brick wall, and I know in reality the club have the control to do what they want. But at least this morning, it's beyond, you know, a German outlet or an Italian outlet or a Spanish outlet. It's the UK outlet saying that Manchester United are in talks, effectively, about Tchouaméni and Nmecha. And what I would say about Tchouaméni as well is, knowing the situation from his side and his willingness and beyond that willingness, desire to join Manchester United if Real Madrid sell him, and Real Madrid want to sign a marquee midfielder, Man United should be putting a bid in. We really should. I don't know why we're not. You can buy a player who's at the World Cup. Elliot Anderson has been bought at the World Cup. And Real Madrid do need to sell somebody. Why wait? Every day we wait, the prices will inflate. And that's what's been happening for the last few weeks. So I don't know why we don't just put a bid in to Real Madrid. I don't know why we don't start moving on that deal, because it makes a hell of a lot of sense for Manchester United to do that. Look, a few people are talking about Nmecha and saying, would you really want him? I think this is a player that is definitely been looked at by Real Madrid, definitely been looked at by Manchester City, definitely been looked at by Chelsea. Why would we not be looking at a player like that? Like, we are absolutely only going to close the gap on those above us if we buy players that are good enough to play for those clubs. If you want to catch Arsenal and Man City and PSG and Real Madrid and Bayern Munich, then you need to buy players that would be good enough to start for those teams. Now, if you can find a player that is, you know, if Matheus Fernandes is good enough to start for them and we get him, great. But I think that where we are at the moment, that midfield is decimated. It's absolutely decimated. I mean, I was laughing my head off last night when Casemiro won Man of the Match for Japan against Brazil. I was laughing. I was like, I'm so glad he's left United. Like, yes, he scored a good header, but anybody who's been watching United for the last 2 years or watched that game last night, I mean, he's completely and utterly at fault for the goal because he's got no legs anymore. And, you know, I thought Casemiro was brilliant for his last year, but there was actually people in our fan base that thought we could keep him for another year. Had to be replaced, is now gone, has no legs. Our midfield, because Casemiro's left, is decimated though. He was our best midfielder. So we need to rebuild that midfield. It's not about, oh, let's try this, let's try that. We absolutely have to deliver. You think about it, right? What Man United have got to do with this midfield from the start of the Premier League season in August, if you think about, you know, you've got a big banquets and you're responsible for the menu, yeah? And it's so important. And once you start serving that food up, it better be good. We can't experiment. We can't say, oh, let's try this. We've got to serve up a star, Michelin star, quality midfield from the start of the season. And if we don't, we're going to be in trouble. There's no, oh, let's see how it goes. You know, if you need a right back and it goes wrong, you've still got Delo. If you need a left back and it goes wrong, you've still got Luke Shaw. In the midfield, we get it wrong, we ain't got nothing because we don't have a midfield. Most clubs in a summer transfer window will already have something and they're looking to upgrade. So somebody might not be totally happy with their striker, so they buy a striker. They might not be totally happy with their centre-back, so they buy a centre-back. If it goes really wrong, you can always default back to that. We got nothing. If it goes wrong, we don't have anything. So it's a hole and it needs filling and it needs to be very good. So yeah, I'm encouraged by the fact that we are being linked to players. I don't subscribe to the view of some of you that this window is going to be abysmal and we're not going to buy players. I do agree it's chaotic. I do agree that we have ridiculous parameters, and I do agree that we, for some reason, seems to be so naive to the complexities of a summer transfer window and how we don't set the price, the market does. But, you know, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. You can't miss. you can't miss this summer. If you don't get Mateus Fernandez, there's still people like Tchouaméni, there's still people like Enmecha, there's still people like Alex Scott. There are so many options out there. We can't miss. The problem is ending up with plan F, G and H if it's not really what the club wanted. That's the only thing I see. That's the only problem I see. Sunrisers, let me just catch up on a couple of super chats. Then we're going to talk about this new Bawadi update. We've still got to talk about Rashford as well. Make sure you're smashing a like on the video and getting your comments in as well this morning. What do you think about the transfer market in general? Oh, I had this conversation with you. I mean, look, I'll tell you who I think Carrick's next signing is going to be after the Bawadi story, and that's not a hint that it's him. What do I think about the transfer market in general? I think we've been doing this for over a decade. I think the transfer market today is no different to what it was 10 years ago. I think you get the sanctimonious, self-righteous people who go, and then you get the people like ourselves who just react to it because actually deep down we enjoy it. I mean, it's been the transfer window's been like this all my life. We used to have something called Teletext, page 312. You get your news there. Some days you'd look and it's Man United are signing Batistuta. And you go, oh, no one ever did. They used to have hotlines that cost you like £1 a minute, which were Man United about to sign Robbie Fowler. And some people used to ring up. I can't be dealing with the sanctimonious twats who start belittling the transfer window and fans who react to it, you know, like a roller coaster. Because that's what the transfer windows, it's always been like it. Those were the days, says Tantric. Yeah, you know what? I don't know what it is. I think, like, you know, everyone has an opinion, but then that opinion is ridiculed. And, you know, like, I've seen a lot of people digging out Fabrizio Romano. Who's got the best update on Marcus Rashford this morning? Fabrizio Romano. How many here we goes has Fabrizio Romano had this summer? You might not like how it works, and it's definitely different, but he gets more information than every other Man United journalist put together. Fact. And so does David Ornstein. People don't like these ITKs. I don't really like them. Who are they? They're a name. They don't even put their face up. They don't even use their real name. I don't use my real name, but you know who I am. But the point is, they don't have any information. How do they know we're going to bid £70 million? They don't. But we've always had these. I mean, today's ITKs are 20 years ago, phone up the hotline, Man United are going to sign Robbie Fowler. You know, it's always been like this. So I enjoy the transfer window. I am not going to judge people because one day you wake up and it's a transfer setback and one day you wake up and it's a transfer boost. That's why we do a news show, to try and cut through the crap. My main concern, I don't think the transfer window's changed in my whole life. I think it's always been like this. The back of a newspaper is now an online tweet, you know? What has changed is Man United's ambition and Man United's appetite and Man United's ownership. The transfer market's still the same. If you want the best players, you have to pay for them. There will be players that we get linked to that we're not really linked to. That I can deal with that. What I can't deal with is sitting back, watching this player that we should sign and this player that we should sign and this player that we should sign, and we walk away because we need to balance the books. It's the most incredibly frustrating, hypocritical, stupid logic that they put out that some of our fans swallow. We can't buy a left back, Mark. We must cut our cloth accordingly. And just, you know, you can't moan about the fact that we can't do that. I can moan about it. Well, you can't. We need to cut our cloth accordingly. We need to balance the books. Why do we need to balance the books? Because, you know, we can't afford it. Why can't we afford it? Because of the owners, isn't it? Well, yeah, it's because of the owners, isn't it? So you're defending the owners not spending money, and it's their fault we can't spend money. Well, it's not that simple. It fucking is. It is. We are a very wealthy football club that can't spend the money because we have to service debt. Who put the debt on the club? And then you're applauding the people who put the debt on the club when they say, we can't get a left back and we're going to get three midfielders, but two of them are going to be really cheap, but we will win the league. Well, they said we're going to win the league. Yeah, they said a lot of things. We're balancing the books because of the debt. Simple as that. So look, I enjoy the transfer window and I don't think it's changed at all.
And I'm not going to be one of them sanctimonious twats who start going, oh, yeah, we shouldn't be reacting like this. The transfer window. It's what it, you know, it's always been like this. The big problem is, the reason people are moaning is that some people live right up the arse of Ineos and the Glazers and won't call them out. And the reality is, the reason we are such a roller coaster in the transfer market is because of them. If we were the club we were 20 years ago, we would not be in a transfer race with Spurs. We'd have paid the money to get the player that Sir Alex Ferguson wants. That's what would happen. We don't do that anymore. Mateus Fernandez versus Amicha. Who is better, says Sunrise's Army? Well, it depends on the price. And it depends what the club want. Again, subjectively, I can run a poll on Fernandez or Amicha, which I will. But it does depend on the price. Look, Mateus Fernandez is overpriced, but has the potential to be very, very good. He also has the potential to be average. Enmeja is a very physical, good on the ball midfielder who is ready to go, who hasn't played in the Premier League before. I think he'd be very good. For me, that is close. Between those two players, it's very close. But if it's £80 million for one and £80 million for the other, you probably are better off going for Fernandez. If it's £60 million for Enmeja and it's £80 million for Fernandez, I think you're probably better off going for Enmeja. But it's different profiles of players as well. Enmeja, I think, is ready to go. Mateus Fernandez never played in the Champions League before, 21 years of age. How do you put, and I keep thinking about this as well, how do you buy Fernandez for £80 million package and then start him with Mainoo? I mean, how does this play out? All right, we're playing two newly promoted teams at the start of the season. But the start of the season, how many teams start the season well and are there at Christmas? So what happens after game five when we've played in the Champions League and we're playing City or someone like that, and then you've got to go and play Champions League football and you're starting Mainoo and Fernandez? At what point does the pressure, the fatigue, the incompatibility, there has to be a period of augmentation and it's not going to work. You're not going to have two 21-year-olds who suddenly turn into prime Keenan Scholes. You know, it's not going to happen. So how does that even work, those two? I don't. It's not a conversation we need to have because we haven't signed Fernandez yet, but I don't even know how Mainoo and Fernandez work. For me, that's a project midfield. So look, I think if you buy an Enmeja or a Tchouaméni, they come in and they're ready to go. And I think It benefits Mainoo to have somebody next to him who's experienced. You know, Mainoo in the last few months of the season did incredibly well because he had Casemiro next to him. If Mainoo's got to play with Fernandez, who's the leader? You know, who's teaching who? If Mainoo's playing with Tchouaméni, I think it helps Mainoo develop. I really do. But, you know, this is the confusion I have about the transfer window at the moment. Forza says, all I see is spin, spin, spin. Look, the story about Tchouaméni, the story about Enmeja are credible. They're coming in from The Athletic, essentially. What you've got to decipher is that fed to them from maybe club sources to distract from the Fernandez story and also make Fernandez think we might have moved on? Who knows? Or maybe United genuinely are moving on. I will believe several midfielders when I see it, says Fraser. And hi, Mark and United Stand. Hope you're well, says Daniel Thompson. I'd like Fernandez, but we should move on if no deal this week and get deal done for Tchouaméni. No more wasting time. Get the proven quality and experience and we can try for Enmeja or Scott. I certainly agree with Daniel in the sense that I would like the next signing, who will tell you who I think it's going to be in a couple of minutes. I would like the next midfield. I'd like the next signing to happen soon. I don't know whether it's the World Cup and I don't know whether it's because Ederson got done and I don't know whether it's because we're still in talks with Mateus Fernandez and ultimately if we get him, it's fine. But it's the 1st of July tomorrow and we're no closer to our second signing than we were on the 1st of June. And you know, we know how quickly July and August can go. And I'm still lost on the predictions of a big and busy summer for Manchester United when numerous journalists mention the word quantity. Where is this quantity? Because I genuinely don't know who we're going for in relation to left back, left winger, backup striker. We're just not linked to people. And look, it could be a brave new world for Man United where you wake up on Monday, we're not linked to any left back. And on Tuesday, we're in advanced talks. That's never really been what we've been about. We normally know the players that we're going for by early July. And at the moment, we don't. Compos says we haven't actually completed one signing officially yet. I mean, look, Edison will happen, won't it? James says, I've still got a funny feeling about Stiller. The interest last year was very robust and Favel will have a big influence. Well, I did see that about the... I find this quite boring because we already know it. But there was... Sam C spoke about it yesterday. The Athletic put it out there today. No transfer will happen without Michael Carrick's approval. However, no transfer will happen without Jason Wilcox saying yes. He is the guy with the ultimate control, supported by Favill's scouting and recommendation. I did see, I can't remember where it was. I saw somebody, obviously I was up very late last night, so I had social media on. I was trying to get to sleep, actually. I'd had a coffee at 2 o'clock in the morning, which was not the best idea because I was absolutely wide awake for the Netherlands game. But when I tried to get a couple of more hours sleep at about 5 o'clock, I was still wide awake. So I was just scrolling through the doom scroll. I saw a couple of things and somebody was saying, I really trust Ineos. I really trust the recruitment of Ineos. Yes, I'm a little bit concerned about the transfer window, but ultimately they haven't done a deal yet where I've doubted them. So I really trust Ineos. And even at 5 o'clock in the morning, knowing I needed to go to sleep, I was like, well, hold on a minute. I can think of £150 million worth of expenditure that's very dubious. And what about the two managers? What about Ten Hag and Amrim? But Ugarte is a flop. Ineos. Xerxes a flop. Ineos. And Lenny Yoro's been here for 2 years as a £50 million signing and we've done absolutely nothing with him. So look, you know, not everything's bad, but not everything's good. The truth is always in between. In fact, I haven't mentioned the United stand traffic lights for a long time. Red and constant negativity, green and constant positivity, or amber, which is everything in between. I like amber. And that's not me professing my love for a woman called Amber. I'll be in trouble if I say that. I like the amber lights. I like the fact that you can call the negativity out and you can call the positivity out. The thing I detest about our fan base, I mean, this is lack of sleep, but I'll say it. The thing I detest about my football club and our fan base is I can't stand the people who are constantly negative and never see anything positive. And I cannot stand the people who are constantly positive and never see anything negative. I think the truth and the best fan is the one in the middle who can be positive and negative. Because I think at Man United, there sometimes are positives. You know, we finished third in the league. Bruno Fernandes won player of the year. Casemiro and Maguire were very good players for his last season. But there's also negatives. The balance is so important. Luke Shammy, thank you very much for the members club. I'm loving the show this morning, by the way. Thank you. Last two morning shows have been brilliant. Mark, I'm not saying you're wrong. Oh, here we go. Kiel's gonna ruin it. Here we go. I'm blowing the balloon of positivity and Kiel's walking towards it with a big bloody needle. I'm not saying you're wrong, but some of us just have no faith this club will do what they say they should do. So we are fine with Rashford coming back, says Kiel. Look, mate, I'm not sitting here in any way, shape or form saying, don't panic. The transfer window is going to be fine. Look, there are things that could happen in the next 48 hours that send the fan base into meltdown. And that's fine. But there are things that could happen in the next 48 hours that could send the fan base into, you know, ecstasy. How many summers have we had people, you know, glazing Ed Woodward because we signed Paul Pogba? Or, you know, even last summer, you know, Wilcox because we bought Cunha and Mbeumo. I think any transfer window cannot be judged in the window, which is why I won't do it. I'll go, I like that signing. I like that. Look, I liked the signing of Mbeumo and Cunha. And we didn't really know much about Le Mans. And Sesko was plan D as much as I liked him. So I gave that transfer window a 5 because we didn't buy a midfielder. And we didn't get a goalkeeper in until the last day of the window. And we started the season with Onana and Binda. So I gave it a 5. A year on, I'd probably say that those signings have been very successful, and bar getting a midfielder, I might actually give it a 6 now. But there's been other transfer windows where I've gone, ooh, you know, like the summer of Zlatan and Pogba and Mkhitaryan and Bailly, I probably would have thought, that's an amazing window. I'm going to give it a 7. But a year later, probably would have dropped it down to a 6. And 2 years later, I'd have dropped it to a 5. And people forget that. It's not about the signings. It's about what they deliver for you. Because, hey-ho, guess what? A lot of these players sign long-term contracts. You know, you look at the summer of Onana, Mount and Rasmus. At the time, I think a lot of people gave it a 6. You'd probably give it a 2. Rasmus is already gone. Onana was a shower of shit. And Mason Mount's never been fit. So, you know, there are, you do have to look at it in a longer term sense. And Mitra on the eye looks very similar to Dembele from Spurs, who I absolutely loved, Scott. I think he was a brilliant midfielder. Plays slightly deeper, but also an edge of Bellingham. Strong and very good on the ball. Look, if Man United go in for Stiller, I'll back this club on that to the hilt. I think he's a fantastic player. If Man United genuinely go for Mitra, you know when you get a feel about a player. I like Tchouameni, I like Tonali, I like Anderson. If we sign Mitra, I'll be very happy and I'll back it. I'll say we've done a clever move there. I've got to be honest, with Matheus Fernandes and Scott, I do like them, but I don't feel I could say this is definitely going to work. It probably will, and they are exciting, but I can't sit here and say that's definitely going to work. And the reason I wouldn't say it's going to work is because I've seen too many times United can't develop talent. The pressure is too much. So if you bring Fernandes in or Alex Scott in, they are good signings. They are good players, but they're prospects and we don't develop very well. I think if you bring someone like Mitra in, your biggest concern is, can he settle? But look at Gravenberch. Came in from Eredivisie via Bundesliga. I think he'd work. I think he would work. And as the official says, there's also an element of Gravenberch to him as well. I think he'd be a very, very good signing. The trouble is, even, you know, Dortmund aren't stupid. They're not. Dortmund aren't stupid. They'll look at the midfield market and they'll go, a player that they might have sold for 60, let's try for 80. But I do genuinely think he's a good player. On the poll, Fernandes or Mitra, 52% of you going Fernandes, 48% of you going with Mitra. Owen says, have a good day, sir, and everyone. Thank you, pal. Bring Rashi back. Saves them from spending 70 million on a new left winger, which perfectly fits the history of cost cutting, says Rohan. Look, we'll talk about Rashford in a minute. If Man United bring Marcus Rashford back, forget Rashford, forget you, forget whether we should. Hypocrites. Absolute fucking hypocrites. You're bringing a player back who is factually on about 325 grand a week. You got rid of him because he's on 325 grand a week. And then you bring him back on 325 grand a week. That's fine. And it's got nothing to do with Rashford. And it's got nothing to do with him as a player. This is about the club. Don't, and anything this club says, you cannot believe it. Any statement they make, you can't believe it. Whether it's Sir Jim Ratcliffe saying, you know, Amrim's here for 3 years and he's gone in 3 months. Whether it's Berardi saying we're going to win the league next year, if not the year after. If they bring Rashford back, they're idiots. They're hypocrites because they only got rid of him because of his wage and then they're bringing him back. Well, the wage is still the same. So what are you doing? Rashford was never kicked out of this football club because of performance or behaviour. They wanted him gone because of his wage. In fact, if they got rid of him because of his behaviour, it'd be even worse to bring him back. They got rid of him because of his wage, and now they're gonna bring him back. I don't know. Having said that, we'll go through that in a minute, but I have a bit of a theory on the Rashford thing, where I think it's a PR exercise from everybody, which makes sense, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Patrick Lynch says, if I was a player, Carrick talking to me wouldn't matter. Seeing how previous head coaches were treated, I'd know whatever he says would carry little weight. Players talk to one another, more likely Bruno convinces a player than a head coach. I would agree, Patrick, yeah. You can't listen to a Manchester United. I know it's United stand, but Sky Bet have stopped taking bets on City to get relegated next season, says Phil. Wow, glad to see. Thank you very much. Okay, let me talk to you. I've got a couple of, I'll tell you what, loads to get into the show this morning. We might be kicking some stuff over to Beth at two. Please do share the video, by the way. We've got nearly 9,000 watching this morning. And if you haven't subscribed, that's the wrong number. We're actually on 269,700. So we're only three away from 270,000. So make sure you're subscribing. Get involved with the United Stands. You're all welcome. Live every morning at 10 o'clock, even on 2 hours sleep. Live every afternoon at 2 o'clock and live at 8 o'clock. It is an 8 o'clock show tonight. I was just thinking, Ivory Coast. Come on, Ahmad. Ivory Coast against Norway. Come on, Ahmad. Come on, Ahmad. It was a good day for the United players last night. Cunha, Ederson, through. Mazraoui. Ooh, get in. Ahmad tonight. Come on, Ahmad. Come on, Ahmad. I mean, I do like Norway, but there's no United player there, so fuck it. Okay, let me talk to you about this Bawadi story. A few people have been saying, why haven't you spoken about it? Why haven't you spoken about it? So, look, it came in from Ben Jacobs. Ben Jacobs, he's the man with the Bawadi. Oh, no, it doesn't work, that one. There is a real interest from Manchester United in Bawadi. There is plenty of interest from the Premier League club, including the likes of City, Arsenal and Liverpool. Lille want a minimum of 80 million euros, but that price could rise to 100 million euros plus for clubs seeking an immediate sale. So, look, a lot of people saying, look, Ben Jacobs is saying that Man United are in for Bawadi. I can only add an opinion here. You know, if that was an update from, you know, some French outlet, I'd just say bollocks. But it is coming in from Ben Jacobs. Fine. Okay. I do not think Manchester United are in for Bawadi. I really don't. And I'll tell you why. What's the difference between Bawadi and Matheus Fernandes? Look, you know, at the end of the day, 53% of you would take Fernandes over Nmicha. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna run the poll on whether you would take Bawadi or Fernandes, and I'll be interested to see what you think about that. No doubt, both very good players. But riddle me this. You've got Matheus Fernandes, who's just played in the Premier League and been relegated by West Ham, and the price that West Ham want is somewhere around £80 million, and Man United are sort of unsure they want to do it. You've then got Bawadi, who's played in the French League and the World Cup, and Lille want between £70 and £90 million package. I don't see how United write the cheque. I just don't see how Man United write that check, because if they're bulking at paying the money for Matheus Fernandes, why would they consider paying around that fee for a player that is from the French League and, you know, young? Now, personally, this is where Data Dean comes into it, who apparently United are driven by the data, but I don't think they are. I think United are driven by Premier League proven and, you know, what they feel is fair value. Data-driven, I would say Bawadi is a much better player than Enzo, than Matheus Fernandes in relation to what we want. I want somebody who can come into that midfield, run the midfield from deep, and grow into one of the best players in Europe. Well, he fits the bill. He takes the ball off the back four, he feeds the attack, he can dribble with the ball, he gets forward, he gets backwards. And I'll tell you now, if he comes to the Premier League and he goes to a rival, he will quickly become one of the best midfielders in the world. And if he does it at Man City, we're fucked, because they've already got Elliot Anderson and they've still got Rodri. So I think if he goes to City, you'll see the quality of this player. And I think he is an actual number six, which is what Man United need. And I think the data proves that. And I think Data Dean would be coming on here and proving it. I would, Mark, you're right. But the point is, I don't see, if United is struggling to put a package together for Matheus Fernandes, I just don't see how they'd put a package together of that in that ballpark for Bawadi. I just don't think we will. So I would like to think that we are going for him, but I just don't think we will. Matthew says, Bawadi's not a great passer. Are you watching the same player? Mate, I don't know what the problem is in the World Cup, especially the knockout stage. I don't know if it's the pitch or the ball, but the amount of misplaced passes in the Brazil game, the Japan team, the Morocco team, the Netherlands team, the Germany team, I don't know. There's a lot of misplaced passes going on that you do not expect to be missed. But look, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe you are right. Maybe we shouldn't go near Bouadi because his passing's bad. But I would say, well, why are Arsenal, PSG, Man City, Liverpool after him? You know, I can't scout Bouadi beyond the World Cup. I said that to you yesterday. But I know for a fact that Arsenal, PSG and others would be looking to sign him if there was no World Cup, because they've done the work on him. So I would trust them over us, if that makes sense. Sam Green says, do we forget now that we are back in the Champions League, the Glazers get tight, then we're out, we act like an ambitious club and spend. Richie says, recency biased at its best, everyone's watching the World Cup, Mateus Fernandez not there and everyone suddenly forgets how good this guy actually is. I don't think they have, Richie. I don't think they have. There are people in this chat who've been championing Fernandez for months and still are. And there are people like myself who think he's a good player, but never looked at him and went, that's the solution to Man United's midfield. I just think it's balanced. I don't think, for me, he is not the sort of signing where you're going to get 100% of the fan base going, we've got to sign this player, he's going to be the next big thing. I think some people are, and I think some people are like, well, he's good, but I don't know whether he's that good, and that's fine. So I don't think the World Cup has had any impact on the excitement around Mateus Fernandez at all. Only number this board takes into consideration is the transfer fee. Sounds good to be data-driven, but it's just a smokescreen. Oh, completely, Patrick. I think the data-driven bollocks is bollocks. And I think it's rest in peace to the data, because you can't keep walking away from players saying we're following the data, because your data's broken. What were you doing there in the first place then if it's the wrong player? Music for everyone out there. Thanks for your super chat. He says, I think our midfield transfer policy at this point, does it cost us under 80 million fixed? Let's do it. Otherwise, no. All under the guise of we don't want our pants pulled down. It's too scattergun. Oh, yeah. But we've been saying it for weeks, mate. I think we have parameters. Over 26, no. Over 80 million pounds, no. Over 200 grand a week, no. Is there a bidding war? No. He's a man with the finest touch, says Marv. Have you ever thought they are trying to show the perception of building the relationship back with Rashford to make it easier to move him on? Let me talk to you about Rashford, JMR. Yes. Sam is also saying about Rashford. Rashford is definitely to call the bluff of any interested clubs. United don't want to seem desperate to get rid of keeping the transfer price up. And watch how the dressing room rots away if Rashford comes back. I can't believe some fans have such low IQ. They still believe in this Manc born and bred bullshit, says Julian. Hope Rashford stays, but might be PR to make Barca pay, says Robert McCormack. Sam is a new member of the members club as well. Welcome, Sam. And Richie says, missing out on Mateus Fernandez to get a Micha would be the equivalent of the time we missed out on João Neves and got Ngarte instead. Richie, I think you've had a couple of bad takes this morning. Some people might agree with you, but I do not think Fernandez is João Neves and Ngarte is Micha. I think it's a lot closer than that. I'm not diminishing either player, but I don't think it's that extreme. No disrespect to anyone, says Forza. It's just me being pessimistic. I've been here since the Euros and this ownership never did anything competent. So this news just spin. And it's Skyplay says, is Fernandez Noyes not the same as last summer? Belabor, look how Belabor is now and what if it will become with the same with Fernandez? And Life is Football says, Fernandez isn't a DM. Scott is and compliments Maney. Well, I'd love to know what the data... I mean, we may never find out because we may never sign him, but I'd love to know what the data is around Mateus Fernandez that they think we can start with two 21-year-olds and be balanced next season. I'm intrigued by that. Right, let me talk to you about Rashford. Thanks, everyone who's tuning in this morning, by the way. We've got nearly 9,000 watching. Thank you very much. Make sure you smash a like, get your comments in. Bouadi or Fernandez is actually 50-50 at the moment. I'm going to leave it there. I don't mind a 50-50. So 50-50 on Bouadi or Fernandez. The final one, and we have done this recently, so there might not be a change here. Keep Rashford, yes or no? Let's just run it as that. So, in essence, David Ornstein spoke about it. Fabrizio Romano spoke about it. What they're basically saying is there's an openness all round at Manchester United for a potential reintegration of Marcus Rashford this summer. The forward is on course to rejoin the first team after the World Cup as part of the pre-season and at the moment would be available for Carrick to use. The 28-year-old is believed to prefer to see out the last 2 years of his contract rather than join a different Premier League club. Also goes on to say that Rashford being part of pre-season doesn't necessarily negate the possibility of him moving on later in the window. There's a lot to unpack there. We've been quite fortunate about this. Everything we've said about Rashford has been correct because we've got good information around the Rashford situation. The Spurs story we told you was bollocks. He would not go to another Premier League club. He will not go to another Premier League club. And that's been confirmed again by The Athletic. His preference is Barcelona, but Barcelona won't pay the full fee. And Man United don't want to do a loan at this point. So you end up in a situation where there is no club in for Rashford that matches what he believes he should be playing at. So there is no Bayern Munich, there is no Real Madrid, there is no Barcelona, and there is no PSG. And he doesn't want to play for another Premier League club. And also, Man United wouldn't let him go to an Arsenal or a Liverpool or a Man City, and he won't go to a Newcastle or a Spurs. So what you end up with, if we're being completely calm and calculated, is there's no big club in Europe in for him at the moment, and there's no big club that we'd let him go to in the Premier League, and he doesn't want to go to a Spurs or a Newcastle. So you end up in a situation where Rashford's doing well in the England team, and Manchester United can't sell him. In a month's time, a decision needs to be made, and in a month's time, as things stand, he will come back to Carrington, he'll be photographed, and he'll be training with the first team with Michael Carrick. Whether he'll be still part of the first team in September is a different conversation. I don't have the answer. I really don't have the answer. I think Barcelona would take him back on loan in a heartbeat. And I think Rashford would like to go back there on loan in a heartbeat. I think he'd love to go there and compete with Anthony Gordon and prove that he should be the player that starts for Barcelona ahead of Anthony Gordon. That door may have closed. If that door is closed, what do you do if you're a player with 2 years left on your contract on 325 grand a week? And what do you do if you're a club that is paying him 325 grand a week for the next 2 years, whether you like it or not? Marcus Rashford doesn't look bad in this situation. Man United do. You know, they put him in the bomb squad. They got rid of him. They took all the plaudits where people were going, oh, well done, no more deadwood. We're removing the shit. We're removing the deadwood. They take the plaudits for it and then they bring him back on a massive wage. They're going to look like mugs. But from Rashford's point of view, I needed a new challenge. I went to Villa. I went to Barcelona. I got back in the England team. I've always loved Manchester United. Obviously, a deal couldn't be done with Barcelona, but, you know, I've always loved Man United. I'm here to play football and win for Manchester United. Rashford comes back looking good. Man United look absolute mugs because they removed him because of wages, and then they're going to bring him back and pay him the same wages. So I think some of you have probably figured it out. I think as a bare minimum, this makes sense as a PR exercise. You know, let's publicly make it look good, because it benefits everybody. The question will be, if he comes back, whether Carrick picks him in Premier League games, and if he does, whether we keep him. My concern around that is that we do need a left winger. But my concern around that is that, you know, you're talking about one of my favourite players a few years ago, him and Martial. I just thought, you know, absolutely brilliant. So exciting. Edge of the seat players are what, you know, I just love those types of players. My problem, my concern is, I know how the media works. I also know half of our fan base don't want him back. And I also know that once people have made their mind up about people, it's very hard to change their minds about them. There might be a honeymoon period, but when it starts to go wrong, which it always does at United, he will be a target. If United start losing games, he will be a target. And then things could go south very, very quickly. And Rashford's obviously got himself back in a much better place than he was in the last 12 months at United. So I personally don't think he should come back. I don't think United should bring him back because I have concerns about how that would work out. However, you know, it's a better left winger than we have. And if it worked out without all the potential issues, there wouldn't necessarily be a problem. Another problem is you probably need him, if he comes back to Man United and does well, you probably need him to sign a new contract quite quickly. Otherwise, this is nothing more than a two-year loan. Because with 2 years left on his contract, would Man United give him a new one? No, not on that wage. Would Rashford sign a new contract in the next 2 years for 4 years on a reduced wage? No. So you definitely would end up in the dance situation of, I'm not signing a new contract on a reduced wage, and United aren't going to give him a longer contract on a new wage. So we'd probably get to a point in 2 years where his contract's run down. So it's interesting, but there is a parallel story. This did actually happen with Jadon Sancho under Ten Hag, where Ten Hag and Sancho had fell out very badly. But there was the summer where Sancho came back, he trained, he played in pre-season, and then he left before the season started. So that could happen. But look, if he stays at the club, I would hope it works out. I didn't want Carrick, but now he's here. A lot of people saying, oh, do you want Nagelsmann now? That conversation's over. I would have took Nagelsmann 3 months ago. Whether that's right or wrong, we gave Carrick the job 2 months ago, and I said when he got the job, I'm backing Carrick. I'm not about to start saying, let's get Nagelsmann, let's get Iriola, let's get Tuchel. Man United made the choice. I back Carrick, and let's hope it works out. If we bring Rashford back, I'm not about to start sitting here going, oh, that was a fucking stupid idea. He's a load of shit, this, that, and the other. I would hope it works out. It's going to be very interesting. I still think I'm 50-50 whether he'll end up at Barcelona or at United. But he won't get his number 10 back. I don't think they could do that. I don't think he could take that shirt off Cunha. So he'd have to come in and... Look, I look at him at I look at him at Barcelona, and I see a player that was a team player who was working hard. He'd get the ball, and 50% of the time he'd give the ball to someone else and play as a team player. I look at him at United, and a lot of the time it was head down trying to do too much. Funnily enough, in the game against Panama, I think he was trying to do too much. I think, you know, I thought he had a good game, but it reminded me of sometimes at United where heads down, just trying to do too much. And that can become, you know, frustrating. But look, I can't tell you how to think. I personally am probably more open to a return than I would have been at any point in the last 18 months. And the funny thing about it is, you say it saves us £50 million. It costs us nearly £1.5 million a month. It costs us £16 million a year in wages to have Rashford back. So, you know, it isn't cheap. It isn't cheap. And also, what does it do? And Carrick won't care about this, by the way, because one thing about Carrick is he's quite, I wouldn't say he's a nepotism, but he has his favourites. You know, there is no development of Yarrow in heaven under Carrick. It's Maguire and Martinez, no matter what. There is no Mazraoui at left back under Carrick. It's Luke Shaw. So if Rashford comes back and he wants to put him on the left wing, what happens to Dorgu? You know? So... But that, I don't think that's a problem. I'm only reading what someone said in the chat. What happens to other people? I think Carrick's the sort of guy that would put him straight back into the team and stick him and keep him in it. I think Carrick loves Rashford. So I think he'd put him in the team and want to make it work. It's going to be interesting. And I don't really have a stance. My biggest concern is I worry about taking anybody back. I just worry about it would have to be perfect every week, because any time we have a bad run or something like that, people always look for someone to blame, and you know, Rashford could find himself being scapegoated, and then things could go very, very toxic. So yeah, we'll have to wait and see. But look, ultimately people never talk about the club didn't treat Rashford very well. They didn't. They basically made a decision that they wanted him gone because of his wage. They didn't treat him particularly well. I don't think Rashford personally is like desperate to come back and play for this board either. So, and Man United definitely wanted him out. So there's a lot that needs to be resolved as well, certainly. John United says, Carrick can't afford to gamble on Rashford. If it fails, it could cost him his job. Better to move forward than look back. The point is to build. Yeah, but you know what? In fairness to Carrick, John, if there's no money for a winger,
what would you do?
If I said to you, John, you're the manager of Man United, and you said, I want a new winger, I don't want to use Rashford, and I said, you're not going to get a new winger, do you want to get rid of Rashford? You'd probably say, well, no. So I don't think you're wrong, John, but also, what if Carrick's being told it's no winger, or you can bring Rashford back? What if I get rid of Rashford? No, still not enough money for a winger. Part of me would love him back and he could fill a hole in the squad, but part of me knows it's time to move on. I don't know how I feel about keeping him yet. 67% again. This is the same as last as a few days ago. It's still locked at 67%. No, I'm bringing him back. Board and Rashford saved my manager. Change too, says Patrick Lynch. Having a laugh has gifted a membership. And says, how is it we are shopping in the budget aisle and City can spend millions and still under investigation? Ambition. Ambition. City don't actually make that much more money than us each year. But they aren't straddled with debt. We as a club, we make a lot of money. A lot of money. It's not like Man City are making £1 billion a year and we're making 100. We're both around sort of 700 million. But they can spend and we can't. Do we forget that now we are back in the Champions League? I've done that one, haven't we? Look, everybody, an absolutely brilliant show this morning. I think the last two morning shows have been so good. I really enjoyed them. And I do enjoy the morning shows, but sometimes it gets a bit heavy on news. And I really enjoyed it. So thank you very much. We are back at 2 o'clock. I am back with you at 8 o'clock, straight after Ivory Coast, Norway, where I'm live on That's Football at 6 p.m. Come on, Ahmad. Thank you so much, everybody, this morning. Really appreciate you. Make sure you smash a like on the video and subscribe as always. And I will speak to you on the next one. Take care.